You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Once in a while, you've had one of those weeks, right? Like where it's a good week, but you're also so tired you can barely see straight. And you realize the antidote is relatively simple. You just need Mexican dance rock mavens. And by dance and rock together, a lot of bands have tried to put themselves under the dance rock umbrella. Very few rock properly, but also make you shake your fucking hind end. Plastilina Mosh out of Mexico City is one of those bands. And every once in a while you stumble across them, you're like, oh, I haven't listened to this band in 25 years. And then all of a sudden,
I do my Latino size. It's kind of like jazzercise.
Yeah.
But I do that to this music right here.
Well, I mean, it's surprising that you're not in better shape because this music.
Oh, that.
Dude,
wow.
You've lost what, like 30 pounds?
34.
34 pounds.
Yep. Still fat.
Well, same. Welcome to that goddamn club, and I haven't lost a fucking pound. All right, Plastilina Mosh, as we get things kicked off, episode 164. I don't know how that's possible. 164 episodes in the can of The Brian Oak Show. I am Brian Oak. That is Sean Bernard. We are recording this in the Smart Start MN Studios, located in a beautiful part of the wonderful city of Minneapolis. I really do love this city very much. We're at 48th in Chicago, or very nearby, just south of that, about a block and a half north of the creek, right below the wonderful intersection of 48th and Chicago, and about 10 blocks south of 38th in Chicago, where just over a year ago, everyone's world here changed. Well, some people, it only put a finer point on it. A lot of people have been living that life for a long time, but it became the epicenter for worldwide attention and drew such a necessary highlight to grand injustice, literally institutionalized murder and racism, and so it's a wonderful place to be because I love South Minneapolis more than anything. I've lived here for, my God, almost 40 years, and maybe not quite 40 years, 35 years is a little closer to the truth.
You're getting old, but not that old.
Easy guy. And so, you know, it's a wonderful but still terrible time in South Minneapolis, and that's one of the subjects we're going to cover coming up. But we're also going to cover things like making a saving throw versus having your armor turned to rust by a rust monster, or being turned to stone by a basilisk. We have a fantastic guest on the way coming up today. His name is Matt, and when I say Matt's going to be joining us, people are like, well, which one? We live in Minnesota. There might be literally 50,000 Matts that live here. But he's also a hip-hop artist. He has one of the most infectious smiles I've ever seen. And right up before the pandemic, maybe had more buzz than almost any other Minnesota artist. And then suddenly, the double whammy from the entire world. Nope, you're done performing. You're done doing this. Everybody stop. Stay home. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Don't do anything fun with your friends for over a year and a half. But that's slowly starting to change. Luckily, he's remained creative, and that smile has not gone anywhere. I'm very excited to talk to Nerdy coming up in just a few minutes here. But first, I wanted to play a quick song because I'm a radio guy, right? Was for 25 years, then wasn't for a while. Now I'm back on the game.
Crazy.
Back on the job. And so, you know what radio guys love, especially music head radio guys, and especially ones who work at record stores? We love factoids.
I thought you were going to say a nice, tight playlist. Just a real short.
Fuck off. I hate it. I play Imagine Dragons once an hour.
That's what I mean.
And again, hey, don't get me wrong. Cities 97.1, uniquely Twin Cities. That being said, more than enough fucking Imagine Dragons, all right? If we could just, I mean, just a little bit.
Goes just, a long way.
Whoa. You know, once a morning's cool. I mean, it's sure. Not, but I could live with it. But once an hour, bro, breathe in, breathe out. Everything's going to be okay. That being said, I'm very glad to be back. But radio guys plus record store guys, imagine combining the worst of both those worlds. Not only do I love factoids, but I love like being like, oh, did you know about this? I'm going to play a song right now that I want you to, I feel, applies to the place we live in, the world we live in right now in South Minneapolis, but also does actually have a fascinating factoid. Do you remember the song Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant?
Oh, yeah. Working so hard like a soldier. That one?
And they still can't feed everyone. Good God. Yeah, no, I think we all know that song, all right? Nerdy is so embarrassed right
now.
He's
like,
for these middle-aged white dudes who are like, could you stop?
He just got up and left. Thanks for coming, man. Thanks for being here. He's like, and I'm out.
So but we all know that song, and you think of Eddie Grant as this 80s one-hit wonder, and you're like, oh, he must have been some Jamaican dude that crossed over briefly. Turns out he's a very British dude, and almost 20 years prior to the release of that song, he was in a band called The Equals over in the UK. Now, they were influenced by pop, they were influenced by R&B, they were influenced by early rock steady and reggae, and they were also influenced by rock and roll, and they were great. Now, they stand out to this day in history as one of the first major interracial rock groups in the UK. Two white dudes, three black guys, all hanging out together, making music together. And 65, you're like, well, yeah, it was the hippie times. Everyone started to realize we're all the same thing and let's get together and love one another. 65's a little early for that.
Yeah.
There were still portions in this country where you had to use a separate bathroom if your skin didn't look a certain way, which is some bullshit, by the way. I think we've learned that by then, but have we learned that since then? They were also one of the few racially mixed bands of that era anywhere on planet Earth, but almost, well, as important as that, it's one thing to be racially mixed and to stand for something, but also your band's got to be good. Nobody wants to listen to your shit music just because you're racially mixed. And Eddie Grant was the main guy behind the band The Equals. Another fun fact, because goddamn do I love factoids ahoy. Later on, The Clash would make this song internationally famous, but this was a song originally done by The Equals in 1965. Police on My Back by The Equals on The Brian Oak Show.
Real, I'm running, police on my back. I've been hiding, police on my back. They were shooting, police on my back. And the victim really won't come back. I've been running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Running down the railway track. Could you help me? Police on my back. They will catch me if I dare drop back. Come and give me all the speed I had. I've been running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What have I done? I'm still running down the railway track. Could you help me? Police on my back. They will catch me if I dare drop back. Come and give me all the speed I had. I've been running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Running down the railway track. Yes, I'm running. Police on my back. Yes, I'm running. Police on my back. Yes, I'm running. Police on my back. Yes, I'm still running down the railway track. Could you help me? Police on my back. They will catch me if I dare drop back. I've been running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Running, police on my back. Yes, I'm running, police on my back. Yes, I'm running, police on my back.
police on my back. Yes, I'm running, police on my back. What have I done? Tell me, please, somebody.
And there will be people who'll be like, oh, but the Clash version, though. And I'll be like, yeah, but the original by the Equals, though. It's the Brian Oak Show, episode 164. Before we get into it, go deep, a deep dive with today's guest, I do want to mention that the primary sponsor, the naming sponsor, I mean, we're in the Smart Start MN studios, is Smart Start MN. They're Minnesota's original ignition interlock company. Don't drink and drive. We should be able to leave it right there. Sadly, people still drink and drive. And if you do so and you get busted, you're losing your license no matter what happens. No matter what the outcome is, you need to get back into your vehicle. No one is better equipped. No one's been around longer to help you do so. And they're the originators of the Ignition Interlock Company. Smart Start MN is absolutely without question, not just because they sponsor the show, because they actually are the way to get back to driving.
They are. And fun factoid for you. Not that
I love
fun.
Factoids.
It's the drinking that clouds your judgment, and so you end up driving even though you had no intention to. Now, that happens quite a bit. Not with everybody.
You don't even have to be blasted, right?
No,
I mean,
you can
you're
have
three drinks in, and you're like, I feel good. In fact, I feel fantastic. I bet I could probably race in the Indy 500 right now.
That's exactly
But all
right.
I'm going to try to do is get home, and you feel confident, you feel good, and you don't realize you're at a .09, and you're effed.
Yeah, so if you know somebody, we're not even saying it's you. If you know somebody.
And no judgment.
No judgment.
Just get back in your car. Not when you're drinking.
Yeah.
I mean, after everything's gone down.
Yeah. And you're,
once you have the ignition interlock.
Yep. And you somehow saved your marriage at least enough to be able to get through this process.
Whoa. Sounds like things got super personal all of a sudden.
They did. They did. Go to smartstartmn.com/The Brian Oak Show.
Cool, bro.
You'll get 20% off the installation of the ignition interlock system, but they don't handle marriage reconciliation.
No, that one's on you, and apparently on Sean as well. It is the Brian Oak Show. It got very real there, didn't it, Matt? Today's guest is a young man by the name of Matt Allen, but most people do not know him as Matt Allen. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing his name since his website. Most people know you as a young, exciting, positive, interesting, politically motivated, and frankly, one of the most promising young musical names in Minnesota music as Nerdy. I'm going to spell it. I hate spelling things on the air, but N-U-R-D, Nerdy, which not many people pride themselves on sort of nerdish aspects.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're wearing a T-shirt right now of the Nerdy Club that's got a couple D20s on it. And I don't even explain what those are because not everybody knows about the D20, but you and I do.
Yes.
You got the 8-bit glasses cooking right there. First of all, hello. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
I reached out a while ago, and then you and I just lost the thread. Things get busy. Life is nuts, right?
Yes.
For everybody. But then we reconnected, and we're like, we should absolutely do this. And I'm very, very grateful you came along.
I know.
Because as I mentioned, before the pandemic hit, you know, everything comes and goes, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's waves. Everything cycles. Your name came up as much as any Minnesota artist I had heard for a few years, and maybe more so. I mean, like, prior to the pandemic telling everybody to sit your ass down, your name was everywhere, man. I mean, it had to be exciting and crazy pressure, and it was all about to happen right now.
Yeah.
And then everything shut down. So before we get to what it felt like to rise up to that, and you've obviously still got it in front of you, but then what it felt like to have to, I guess we'll wait just a little while on that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if I ask where you're from?
Yeah, so I was born in Bronx, New York, but what I tell people where I'm from is from Rosemont, Minnesota.
What the?
Irish.
Yes, the Fighting Irish, RHS in a building.
Yeah.
Shout out to everybody, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. That's the Irish battle cry, the blue and gold, baby.
Holy crap. And so, now again, I grew up in the suburbs as well, but mine was on the other end. I was in the northern suburbs, and there are certain points that I take pride in and certain points that I feel like I carry a veil of shame with me as well.
Yes.
You feel the same way?
I understand.
Okay. But now you did grow up in Rosemount, and obviously music has always been a part of your life growing up. Prior to talking about music in school, at what point when you're little, when you're itty bitty, music or hip hop has to take hold in your life somewhere. What's the first thing you remember falling in love with?
I think, I mean, I've listened to a bunch of different things. I get my musical influences from all over the place.
Right,
so there's a
right.
lot of different things that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the thing that got me. I will say that there were two things that like just had me fall in love with music, and they're not hip hop related, ironically.
Fine.
The first one was this is going to sound really lame. Is an old VHS copy of the theater production of Cats.
Memories.
And Rum Tum Tugger's song, I remember I used to watch all, like, it is probably, like, I've watched it so many times because I loved the swag and stuff like that. And this is like before I started like getting into like 80s hair metal, which is one of my favorite genres.
Right.
I was just like, oh man, I love the.
But the attitude in musical theater, man. Yeah. I love musical theater.
Big old mane. He reminded me of the Creeper, like the character of the Creeper. He had a big old mane. I love that. But then the music that I remember just falling completely in love with, it was Songs in the Key of Life.
Oh, Stevie.
We were helping my aunt move, my aunt Jackie move, and there was a little, you know, CD player boombox thing. She had a CD of that,
mm-hmm.
and I was so young, so I wasn't like, oh, this person. I played this song because it was at a cool album cover. It got to Sir Duke, and I think I might have listened to that 100 times, over and over and over and over again. Like, as soon as it stopped,
I
turned it back on, and did it again. I never knew that music could be so much. It's so much.
I often use the analogy that music is the best drug I ever took a hit of.
Oh, yeah.
And when that first real hit hits your veins, a.k.a. your ears, you can't ever go back.
It changes you.
Some people's brains aren't wired to respond to it, but if you were, and clearly you are, I mean, that's why I still, to this day, and I'm significantly older than you, to this day, if I find the right song, I will listen to it 5 times in a row because I keep getting the hit from it. And then once that starts to fade a little bit, diminishing point of return, then maybe I'll move on to something else.
Different.
But that doesn't change. When you feel that hit go down, and for you, it was Stevie Wonder and Sir Duke.
I was sitting in an empty living room. All the stuff has been moved out.
Right.
Everyone's doing boxes and stuff. And I'm just sitting there cross-legged looking at this thing and wondering why everybody isn't just like freaking out.
Right.
I was like, this is the wildest thing I've ever. It'd be like if, I think it's like the first concrete memory of any sort of music I've ever had in my whole life. So ultimately, that's the one. That's the one that's like, that took me away.
Well, I mean, and again, that first hit, there's really nothing exactly like that first hit.
Oh, no. Like, oh, we're about to, oh, you're about to get it.
I got to play just a little bit.
Yeah, you got to play that opener. Oh my goodness.
Let it go.
Music is a world within itself.
Come on.
It's a language we all understand.
That opening line.
Yeah,
right there. I mean,
right there. When he gets it, okay, if you have, you've probably heard this. I've figured out the
idea. Let it go, let it go, let it go.
Just because the record has a groove, don't make it in the groove. But you can tell right away and Dr. A when the people start to move. They can feel it.
Yes. This is when my jaw was on the floor. Oh my goodness.
Now, the only problem with that being your first real taste, your first real hit, the first time you fall in love, is that where the hell do you go from there, man? I mean, you're talking about modern day Mozart shit there, right?
Like,
I mean,
it was,
and there's obviously been tons of other great music.
So many great music.
But I mean, like, you you're like, oh, I wonder what's behind this door. And it turns out it's all behind this door. Yeah. Everything is
it
right there.
It felt like if you're playing a video game and like an open world game and you walk into a level that's way too high for you.
Right.
Like, but, you know, you're listening to like, you know, London Bridge is falling down. Yeah. And then you walk in the door and it's like, like, I should have been weaned into that. And you're like,
I'm not ready for this. Luckily, the boss that's waiting for the boss fight is like, why don't you just come on and sit down, kid?
Hang out.
Let me grab you a glass of milk. We're going to listen to some Stevie Wonder.
That's it. So Stevie Wonder's fantastic. And that's where I got into music. And then obviously as like my music continued, I would listen to like Outkast and
hair metal. We can't ignore that because that influences virtually every single person who's ever lived in Minnesota.
Yes, it is fantastic.
And many other places.
Obviously,
as well.
When you talk about Prince, but not even Sister Christian by Night Ranger is my favorite song. It's not the best song in the world.
No,
it's
no,
my
no.
favorite song.
And there's a very big difference right there. Like, I also I hate when people say, this is the best album of all time.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing. It's, it's all subjective,
it'll change on
your
mood.
Now, my favorite album of all time is different than yours, and we're both right. Sister Christian is your favorite song of all time.
It is my favorite song of all time. I don't know why. Every time I hear it,
if it
I just
makes
go
your
like,
heart
yes.
sore, that's you.
Yes. You put it in.
Dun, 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 dun.
And then when it goes, that first time it like does the little stop that time, ugh, it's like sex. It's the best thing you can possibly. Motor. Bam! I was like, yo.
Surprise for flow.
One of these days, I'll get just big enough. I'll get just big enough that I can pull that song off and just do it live and just. Then I can retire. I'll just walk away.
No, I feel like it's too early to retire, but I do feel like you're already big enough to pull off Sister Christian.
Yes.
Speaking of, I want to talk about what was happening right before pandemic, how your pandemic's gone, and what we're looking like as we look forward into 2021 and beyond, because I feel like you haven't necessarily lost that momentum. The name Nerdy still has real cachet, and I think the best days are still to come for you. I'm really excited for you, man. Well, amen, right? Wouldn't we all like to think so? Some of us are over the hill, and we're recognizing it. But that's not the case for you. Before we go any further, though, I hate to make it too far into the show without enough music, and we have yet to hear one of your songs.
Yeah.
I want to know about this song right here. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so this song is called Break Chains. It's funny you talk about the pandemic and everything that's been happening with the uprising. This is the last song on a two-part album called 38th and Chicago that was written about everything that's been going on here in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And so the song is called Break Chains. It's my favorite song on the 38th project. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic. You're gonna have to check it out.
In the backseat, a cab like a taxi. Got no time to be pussyfooting, but I whip out claws like the backseat. I know haters be pissed off, talking all with their back sheets. And if you got a problem, it's Nerdy Rods, and yo, I don't care if you at me. Got no time for no racist, get my blood from them slave ships. Black and proud, and I'll say it loud, we be wild and out, you can't fake this. Muggles try, but can't catch the beat. Haters clapping on 1 and 3, but we gon' reign, we break a chain. Just wait and see, just wait and see.
You ain't finna stop me, you ain't finna stop me. You ain't finna stop me. You ain't finna stop me.
Yeah,
you ain't finna stop me. You ain't finna stop me. You ain't finna stop me. You ain't finna stop me.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Another grandson of the island boy on my granddad.
My granddad.
Never gonna stop, gonna hear my voice. This ain't no time.
Woo!
This is my melanin. Yes, I be telling them.
Oh, yeah.
My skin for a minute. I'm a rebelin. Black don't crack, and I rap freaking heavenly.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm hot as hell. I'm so goddamn pretty. I can't help myself. But I'm from my city. Black boy, ring that bell. Sorry, I'm not sorry. We might crash your party. My friends on Jabari. And it's challenge day. I'm still on that wave. 12 can't bring me down. Child, get on my face. Mind your business.
Mind your business.
We go in there. We break chains to the masters. We won't change, so don't ask us. We go fight cause we has to. You will never get past us. Shout it out to the rafters. We break chains to the masters. We break chains to the masters. We break chains to the masters. We won't change, so don't ask us. We gon' fight cause we has to. You will never get past us. Shout it out to the rafters. We break chains to the masters. We break chains to the masters. And we tell them like,
you ain't finna stop me, 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 you ain't finna stop me,
no you're not,
you ain't finna stop me, you ain't finna stop me.
Thinking I'm about to stop, how about no way? I'm so hot, I could burn on a slow day. If you rock with a guff, you can go away. But I don't watch how you talk, you don't know me. But I'm in your neighborhood, no, I ain't no make-believer. Just might show up in your yard if we have trouble breathing. Cause my grandma's mother's mother built this whole damn space. Don't mistake me for somebody who don't know their place. I am black like the Nazarene. Got a white nose and everything. Yeah, my head's nice and woolly. Ain't run from bullies. I rock my ebony. Black like music to ever store. Black like country and rock and roll. Black like all of them drums are up a pump pump way down in my soul. Mesa. 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 Mesa.
We won't change, so don't ask us. We gon' fight cause we has to. You will never get past us. Shout it out to the rafters. We break chains to the masters. We break chains to the masters. We break chains to the masters. We won't change, so don't ask us. We gon' fight cause we has to. You will never get past us. Shout it out to the rafters. We break chains to the masters. We break chains to the masters. We break chains to the masters. And we tell them like,
you ain't finna stop me. 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 You ain't finna stop me.
You ain't finna stop me. You ain't finna stop me. You ain't finna stop me. You ain't finna stop me. You ain't finna stop me. You ain't finna stop me.
I want to say something that's a compliment that other people won't take as a compliment, but hopefully Nir D takes as a compliment. Sometimes when you listen to Minnesota music, you're like, yeah, that's clearly from Minnesota. I mean, this is, again, it doesn't mean it's not accomplished. Doesn't mean it's not good.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean there isn't decent production involved. But then there's sometimes where you hear something and you're like, that could be from anywhere.
Yep.
That could come from the biggest production house on either coast, or it could come from one of the biggest talents in the game. And it turns out that part is absolutely true. I'm not joking, man. I'm not trying to, because you're right in front of my face, kiss your butt. But I mean, that's a Childish Gambino quality song.
Thank
right
you
there.
Very much.
Do you disagree?
Oh no, we worked really, really hard on it. We wanted to put together something that could stand alongside anything else that you heard on the radio. Realistically, we were saying like, yo, if they're going to make a Black Panther 2, which we didn't know at the time was going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
We said, we want to create something that'd be worthy of that caliber.
There's no reason that song couldn't be on that soundtrack. Exactly. That's that good a song.
Well, thank you very much.
The depth, the production. So clearly you at some point realized, I mean, because everyone at some point fancies themselves a singer, a dancer, an actor, or a rapper, or whatever it is that you love, right? I'm a race car driver, and it turns out you're terrible at it, right? Whatever the case may be. But there's a difference between wanting to do something, thinking you're pretty good at, stand-up comedian, whatever the case may be. I'm not looking at you, Sean, for any particular reason.
I did it one time. No, I know. Bucket list.
And we're still talking about it. We're still talking about it. But I mean, amazing. Like, so there's a difference between wanting to or believing you're good at something and then finding out that you're actually worthy of being talked about at the highest caliber of that thing. So without you tooting your own horn, let me ask you this. At what point did you realize, oh, no, I could really do this for real and play with the biggest names in the game?
I think it was Soundset 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I had been asked by Go95.3, shout out to Go95.3, mm-hmm. RIP.
Right.
I had won Shut Up and Rap, so I started doing open mics. That's how I got into this.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, Shut Up and Rap was an open mic night they did where you came, and then basically everyone else said, well, I guess I'll quit because you won for a month in a row.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, I suck. This guy actually knows what he's doing. I suck.
There was a lot of really talented cast that came through there, and it was a proving ground for real.
Right.
And so, yeah, I won to the point where they told me I had to retire. I couldn't come back.
So we have to give somebody else a chance. And if you could not even, pardon me, Matt, but if you could not even show, like, we don't want them to show up and feel bad. We want them to feel like they maybe have a shot.
So it was a very fun experience, but they called me up while I was working at my old call center job.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, hey, do you want to be a part of Soundset? Now at the time, R.I.P. Soundset, Soundset was the biggest hip-hop thing that
in the country, by the way, for people who don't understand what Rhymesayers put together with that, I mean, the names that would show up and it would get bigger every year. And so when you're talking 2018, at this point, we're sort of at peak Soundset.
Yeah, it was Tyler, the Creator. It was the Wu-Tang Clan.
Those guys?
It was Jaden Smith. It was Migos. And so we would just.
But I mean, like, literally, so, like, it's not like, oh, this is a cool Midwestern. This is a cool Midwestern hip hop festival. We're talking literally the biggest names in the game.
And so they go to 95, they're like, hey, do you want to perform? Do a full set? And I remember going, like, yeah, I said yes in the stairwell before, and not letting them know that I only have the two songs that I've been performing at this open mic.
And they're great songs.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I was like, I only have these two.
But
like,
when you say a full set.
This is like 45 minutes. And I was just like, yeah, cool. I'll do that. And then I was like, all right, well, I got to write a bunch of songs or else I'm not going to be able to do anything.
And they got to be great.
Yeah, they got to be good. And when I was there and you see this sea of people, and this was a hot Soundset. 2018 was a very hot Soundset. Like, we had like kids dropping all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it was just a heat wave, not unlike how we're feeling right now.
Correct.
Yeah. And I remember, though, I'm seeing a sea of people. I'm doing my rap. I'm doing my music. I'm seeing people stop and like turn around, fill out this place, and just like watch, because it's a festival, you know, you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
And people stop, and I was like, yo, this is a whole thing. Like, this is a this isn't just like, oh, you did some open mics and you did pretty well. Like, the people came up to me and was like, hey, we were gonna go watch the Wu-Tang Clan, but we just decided to watch you instead.
What,
like, that,
you know, Tang is, I mean,
amazing. Like, that was like, I was like, the most humbling thing I've ever heard. So it was like one of those things where I was like, yo, this is it. This is the thing.
Was that the eye-opener right there?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Clearly, I mean, because again, even if your talent is the catalyst, if your talent is the spark, nobody's great on their own. You've got to have producers. Mm-hmm. You've got to have players with you. You clearly have found the people that you trust to have around you that are your crew, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
But it's an accurate term, right? I mean, like, it doesn't matter what you do for a living, you or just your friend circle, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you don't have your compadres, you're not going to be as good as you otherwise might be. So clearly you found the people you want to be around.
I have the best team. So the producer, the producer Tone Jones, who made the beat itself, is amazing. Fantastic. Works out of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Fantastic guy. He'd made most of Chicago Avenue, but then that beat specifically.
So how did you find him?
Just on randomly.
Just reached out, like, hey, man, would you make me a beat?
Looking through beats and just being like, oh, this is really, really good.
Yeah.
And I was like, I messaged him, like, hey, can I have this? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, dope, awesome, cool. And I was like, it was kind of just like you find gold walking down the street. You're just like, oh, snap.
But also, he's not going to sell it to you or let you use it as part of your release if he doesn't think you've also got what it takes,
it's,
right?
It's one of those things.
It's a mutual deal.
Yeah. And then the mixing and mastering was done by my DJ,
right?
DJ Hayes. Shout out to DJ Hayes. He's fantastic, amazing. He mixed and mastered the entirety of both 38th and Chicago. And we did that like off his laptop in his apartment. It wasn't like we didn't go to a fancy studio and get all that done. Like, it was just hard work and ingenuity.
Well, and that's part of the brilliance of the world we live in now, but also part of the difficulty. And it is somewhat analogous to the nature of the podcast, okay? Because literally anybody could record something in their living room. Literally anybody with a cell phone can create a podcast, right? Yeah. The difference is, just because everyone can do it doesn't mean everyone's going to be creating a masterpiece, right?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, the technology has never been more available to people who otherwise might not have had that shot in the past. Mm-hmm. And that sort of egalitarianism, I think, is wonderful, but it also means the market is flooded.
Correct.
And it's harder than ever to punch through, whether we're talking about a podcast or whether we're talking about hip hop or singer-songwriterism or really anything.
Yeah.
It's wonderful that we live in a world where these avenues have opened that have never existed before, but it doesn't mean everything's great. And it also, it clouds the scenery, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, so for something good, aka Nerdy, to pop through. And you know what I mean? But for something to pop, I mean, let's be honest. You know, I wasn't really just trying to kiss your ass before.
Yeah.
Prior to everything shutting down for the pandemic, I mean, your name was on everybody's lips. You were in all the publications.
Correct.
If, for lack of a better term, you're the shit. I mean, you from the Twin Cities, you're the guy, man.
That's what I like. That's what I was aiming for. I was very blessed to be able to occupy all those spaces. It was a lot of work. It was rapid because I had only started rapping in 2018,
right?
And then it was just like,
and then you're at sound
thing after thing after thing after thing after thing after thing. And a lot of that was because I did do rock and roll for like 8 years and didn't go anywhere.
Whoa. What was the band called?
Yeah. The band was called Black Genesis. Okay, it had many names. It was Three Man Trio.
Right,
and
on.
Then it was Saving.
Good one,
yeah,
by
right,
the way.
Right. That's a great name. It's very.
Not Taken. Interesting.
Not Taken. Yeah.
Still available.
Yeah, Three Man Trio. And then it was Saving Vinyl City, which was a much nicer name.
Okay.
Okay. And then it was Black Genesis. And the reason it was Black Genesis, a lot of people thought we were like a heavy metal band. We weren't.
Right.
Well, we wanted to be like Genesis if Phil Collins was black. So we just called ourselves Black Genesis.
What's interesting is he's so damn white.
Yeah.
That it's hard for me to get my head around a black Phil Collins.
Like, wait, what's going on? But that was the idea.
I like
great
it.
Great name.
Did you do all originals? Did you start out doing covers?
We started out doing covers.
First cover you ever nailed that you're like, you know what? I know this belongs to someone else, but I killed this song.
Ooh, Forget You by CeeLo Green.
Okay.
Easy.
I can hear that.
We did it as a ballad. It wasn't like, we didn't do it like a fast one. We slowed it down. We had the piano. We had a whole like swell, the guitar. Like we made it like a really sad song. Because it is.
So even though
sad.
It's an F off, you made it sexy as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And so that's what we did originally.
All right.
Now,
but then you go hip hop.
Yeah.
I want to ask real quick, because I think this is a really important point.
Here we go.
Did anybody in Black Genesis, were they willing to shave the peninsula into the front of their head like Phil Collins?
Unfortunately,
has?
We didn't get to
cowards.
That point. I know. It's one of the reasons why we never got.
Well, look at if you
ground.
Think about
look
it.
Look at Nerdy. His hair, he's still got way too solid a hairline to be fucking that shit up.
So we'll get there one day, I'm sure. Yeah. I'll circle back to
the reunion tour.
Yes. Like the guys in the band, a lot of the guys in my band now were also in that band as well because they're good friends. And they were like, man, we should go back to the garage in Burnsville and we should do one more run. Like, let's just do these old songs.
Back to Burnsville.
Yeah. Dude, shout out to the garage, by the way. They put us up so many times.
Is that all age place? Yep. That's like kind of like almost a community center?
Yep.
Oh my God. When she was younger, the weird little tiny emo bands that would play at that place, I took her to so many shows down there, and I'm like, well, you're not going to be able to get home because you're too young, so I'll just go kill 2 hours in Burnsville, and then I'll come back and pick you up. So that's where
that's the place. It, yeah, man, a lot of good memories. So I did rock and roll, mostly at the garage, for like 8 years, but it wasn't... It ultimately didn't work the way we wanted it to. And we're getting older, going to college, doing all this other stuff. It's like, it's not going to happen. And so I was like, oh, well, I'll do hip hop then. Like, let me do this for real.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really rap in front of people. I liked doing it just for fun. But, you know, I was a black kid in a majoritively white neighborhood of Rosemont, and a lot of people told me to rap, and I didn't like that. So I was just I'm not
going
to do that.
You are a black gentleman. I wonder if you'd enjoy that hip hop that I've heard so much about.
You should have seen some of the coaches when I walked in middle school, just like, there it is. Here's the guy. We need him on the football team. We need him on all the things, basketball. And I'm not good at any of those things.
So. You know, really shocking. So just because looking at it, like, we finally have our running back. Look at that guy. That guy's got fullback written all over him.
No,
I don't want to get hit by a helmet.
Would you like to watch a VHS copy of Cats? Because that
so before we move past your middle school career, obviously, musical theater made an impact on you at some point. Music was an important part of you. I'm wondering if you can confirm or deny a rumor for me. I have been with the same woman for 30 years. We have been married for a good 24, almost 25 of those years.
Congratulations.
She has been doing the same vocation for that entire time. She is a middle school choir instructor at Rosemont Middle School. Can you confirm, sir, Mr. Allen, and or deny that my wife, Colleen Martin Oak, was in fact your choir teacher while you were in middle school in Rosemount.
Yes, she was.
That is fucking crazy.
That's so fun.
Isn't that weird?
That's so wild. This like the smallest of the world.
I met her before you were born, my good man. Before you were, we've been together this whole time. And when I mentioned, you know, when I first sat down and Sean and I started to put this podcast together, I kind of came up with a wish list of all the people I wanted to have on the podcast.
Yeah.
Granted, it took 164 episodes, but you were on one of those early lists, and she's like, wait, Nerdy? You mean like Matt Allen? And I'm like, I don't know his real name.
Yeah.
I know he's Nerdy, and he's cool, and everyone's talking about him, and I want him on the podcast. She's like, oh, he was totally in my choir class.
Yes!
And did you call her Miss Mo?
Yep.
Like everyone did?
Yep.
Son of a bitch.
So it's now is so the time weird to let it out. Was she a total ball buster?
No. B-word. No.
Okay,
B-word
okay.
Extraordinaire.
I'm going to, let me,
B-word.
I'm going to say this.
Drop it a dime.
Secret.
There were two, if I remember correctly, there were two choir teachers in middle school, in Rosemount Middle.
Miss Lee was the other one.
Miss Lee. And I believe she's passed.
She has passed.
I believe she's passed. And
let's not speak ill of the dead.
And then what I'm going to say is that, so Miss Mo was so nice to me. Miss Lee was so mean to me.
Really?
And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, Miss Mo's like the best. Why do we even have Miss Lee? Like, what's the reasoning? But here's the thing. Miss Mo fostered in me this thing of performing and how do I, like, I was young, I was in middle school, I'm still trying to find myself. Yeah. I would like ask to do weird things and she would let me have space.
Yeah.
And Miss Lee was the person who didn't let me get away with anything. And I think one of the things that I came to appreciate as I got older was that so many teachers like accepted like the bare minimum from me they assumed, I don't know, whatever. But they're just like, oh, yeah, no, he could speak well. That's all we need from him.
Yeah.
Or he could sit still. That's all we need from him.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Lee busted my balls because she truly believed that I could be better.
Yep.
And I didn't recognize that while I was in middle school, obviously, because you're a middle school boy.
In middle school, you don't have that kind of vision. You don't have that kind of wisdom or that kind
of
perspective.
I remember I thought she was my arch nemesis.
Yeah.
And then I remember... in high school, I think it was like junior, senior year, I'm at a thing and my mom tells me, she's like, Miss Lee loved you so much. That's so wild. And I was like, what? And she's like, every parent teacher conference I went to, she would like go on and on about how much she thought that you had it in you. She's one of the first teachers to believe that I could be this big thing.
Yeah.
And she just didn't want me to like, not get it so easy.
Yeah.
Like I had to want, I had to earn it. Well, I had to prove that I was like as good as I thought I was.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
And so I love that lesson because, RIP Miss Lee, because she had the reputation of being the ball buster.
Yep.
Whereas my wife is more of the fun teacher, but also very encouraging and very fun to be around.
Mm-hmm.
But Miss Lee had kind of a negative reputation, but I think she actually cared.
Oh yeah.
She chose a pretty square ass curriculum, like the concert etiquette rap and things like that. That were really terrible to watch, and I watched a lot of them. But I mean, I love that story about what you're talking about, because here's the deal. So you talk about, you know, whenever anyone's like, oh, they're an overnight sensation, I'm like, fuck that. They've been putting in a lifetime of work. They busted their ass. And then once you get that tag, once the door opens, that's when the real work starts.
Mm-hmm.
You've been working your butt off for the last 3 years nonstop, haven't you?
Yes.
And that's the way the game works, right? Like, mm-hmm. So I've always sort of been very suspicious of that, oh, they're an overnight sensation. Yeah. I'm like, nope. Mm-hmm. They put in all the groundwork to get that one opportunity. And once that opportunity comes, if you don't work every damn day, mm-hmm. from the time you wake up until the time you go to bed, if you're not always thinking about it, it's going to pass you by.
Yeah.
And I don't see that happening to you.
I don't plan on it.
Okay, good. Good. I'm very glad to hear that. So I want to talk about all this stuff is building up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've done all these things.
Yep.
Boom, your sound set. You are Nerdy.
Yes.
People can't stop talking about you.
They can't.
And then by the time we are just a little over a year ago, I mean, obviously the word was starting to get out and things were starting to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say arbitrarily May of last year, May of 2020, everything's over, shut down completely.
Yeah.
Tours are canceled.
Yep.
Dates are canceled.
Mm-hmm.
getting together and seeing your mother is canceled. It's all effing over.
It's done.
What does that do to you? I mean, did it pop a hole in your balloon? Did it mess with your momentum?
So, November 2019, I walked into my job. I said, I'm quitting. I'm doing music full time. I mean, I gave him my 2 weeks, but that was like, I came in. I remember that was the November 19th. I'll never forget it because I walked in so confident. I was like, I walked in. I was like, I'm sitting there at my desk, like, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? This is my last day.
The theme music is playing.
Yeah. And because I had been on all of the, like, the stations. I was the city pages, the best new artist of the year. And, like, they had a copy of my face in the lobby.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I'm bigger than this place.
Bye.
And so I remember I swiped out. I filmed it, everything. I was like, see y'all in the movies. I'm out of here. Boom. November 2019. January comes around. Best new bands of 2020. Headline that show at First Ave.
Correct.
Room.
Wow.
Blow it out. Super awesome. And I'm like, yeah. And then someone's like, oh, you hear about this pandemic thing that's going on overseas? And I'm like, ah, that sucks for them. This is going to be everything. And then it was March for me.
Okay.
I get one email that says, hey, we were supposed to open the Minnesota United season. We're supposed to open that season, but just like do a show.
Great auspicious start to the year.
Yeah. And I was like, "Here we go, this is it." I was like, "Yeah, no, this is, we can't lose, we can't lose." And,
say, can you? I was sitting here going like,
and then sure enough, I get this email that says, "Hey, we're canceling, like they're canceling soccer." And because they had canceled the NBA, like, and the college stuff, and I was like, "Oh, that's a lot." But I said, "Okay, well, you know, maybe they're being precautious." But then when I heard that they're canceling just soccer, I was like, "Yo, that's the biggest sport in the world."
Right.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh,
it's over.
It's over." And then the next 3 days, I lost. I was booked all throughout the year.
I lost
every single show. And I remember I'm sitting there in my living room just getting these folks. I look at my phone and it's another person saying, hey, Nerdy, we're super sorry we can't have you. And I was just like, I'm getting married. I quit my job. I was just like, I just was looking there. And I remember talking to my fiance and I was like, I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I called up my DJ. And he's thinking the same thing because we're both like, we're out of here. We're doing this.
I mean, you could have gotten rich last year.
Oh, no, it would have been crazy. We would have been rich. Off. We would have been already off.
Yeah.
And I called him and was like, we have to do something.
Yeah.
Or we'll never come back. Yeah. And what I realized that in that moment, right after I had that thought, my second thought was like, I can't be the only artist that's feeling this way.
No.
Oh, no.
And so we started MN Artist Relief, Minnesota Artist Relief. And what we would do is we would put on live stream shows, just like we figured it out as we went along. First, it was on Instagram Live. Then we moved over to a Zoom platform and we did a bunch of different live stream shows, just making music and then giving money back to Minnesota artists. There was a lot of like initiatives and grants and stuff that are going on, but you never know how long those are going to take. Mm-hmm. Some people are still waiting for that money. So I was like, We would get this money and we would like, here you go. No questions asked. You're a musician. You need some money. Here you go.
People need to make rent.
Yeah,
man.
You know, you need your phone, your rent, your groceries, whatever it is. Boom. No questions. We did that for the majority of the pandemic up until April.
Yeah.
We were just like April, May. We were just like doing that as often as we could. We were able to do something for Paisley Park. We were able to do something for the Kennedy Center.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to do all these big, like, and these were big things. People we wouldn't have played with, like, we weren't thinking what we were going to play with that year. And they were just like, hey, this is Paisley Park. Do you want to do something on our platform? And I was like, yeah, sure, of course. Well,
I understand Paisley Park is fairly interesting. Certainly. I'd very much enjoy that.
And it was it was beautiful and fantastic. And that's how the pandemic, like, we stayed afloat during that time.
Well, I'm glad you stayed afloat. I'm glad you stayed positive. And I want to hear a song here first. But when we come back, I want to know what it looks like. What makes me very happy is, I mean, really, maybe more than anyone else I can think of locally. Certainly, there are other great bands locally, right? And many people were enjoying an unprecedented amount of success.
Mm-hmm.
But your name was literally on every lip. And I mean, it was on every magazine. I mean, you were poised to make 2020... You know, that was your Lizzo year, for lack of a better comparison.
Yeah.
I think that's very real. Like, that was going to be your year. And then But I don't think that maybe that opportunity has passed entirely because people still seem to be saying your name.
Yeah.
People still seem to have a lot of respect, and the momentum still seems to be moving forward. Before we talk about what your 2021 looks like, the rest of it into 2022, you picked another artist, and every single guest that comes on this show, I ask them to pick music. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it's about. I don't. Well, okay. I mean, you know, no screwdriver. You know, no racist skinhead bullshit.
No, but Gigi Allen.
No. Well, I mean, if it's just a song about eating shit, I guess that's fine. But I mean, if it's about genuine hatred, then no, that's not okay. Other than that, though, it's not a cool contest. It's not ever judgment. I feel like, you know, I always use the thing about Anthony Bourdain. He's like, if you want to know somebody, you want to know their family, you want to know their culture, you want to know what they're made of, sit down and eat a meal with them. I feel the same way about people picking music. You want to know something about what's going on in that person's head? Listen to what they listen to, and don't be a judgy dick about it. Like, let them enjoy their music, right?
Period.
Tell me about this artist.
Yo, so Jacob Collier is one of my favorite artists, period. I'm constantly envious of him because he's like younger than I am. He's got a multiple Grammys. He's a musical genius. And this song with The Love in My Heart is what the name is of the song is called, is part of my amp up mix before I go out and do a show. So if you see me doing a show, what I was listening to before you saw me is this kind of stuff. So if you're wondering like what the peek into how my musical mind works, this song is going to give it to you.
No hand to hold, no star to guide, no tears to cry, no fire to burn, no sky above, no help below, no wind behind, no power before, no chains around, no fear within, but with a love in my heart, I'm gonna find. Understands my soul. Somebody to tell me where to go. And I don't want to be traveling on my own. She said, I'll be the one when we come along. He said, do you want to dance with me? Do you want to dance? I've been sitting here too long. And my bones feel old, but my feet still young. He said, I've never met a girl like a hoe so strong. Somehow I found you.
body make me lose control.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Keep in motion. Stay unspoken. And if I'm broken, keep me open. Keep in motion. Stay unspoken.
Stay unspoken. Stay unspoken.
And if I'm broke,
if I'm broke,
keep me open.
So, I don't know. I feel super dumb right now. literally nine songs in one song.
Yeah.
If not more.
Yeah.
I'm just breathing out of my mouth over here.
26 years old. What I like to think of to defend myself, my brain goes into the defensive mechanism of like, well, he's just a really smart kid and he knows a lot about music. But he's 26, mm-hmm. and he is, you might think, like, well, just one of those musical wankery, sit in his room all day, didn't have any friends kind of guys. Clearly not the case. I just read a fun little factoid. He's the first British artist to receive a Grammy Award for each of his first four albums.
Yep.
And now you can say what you want about the Grammys, but I mean, 26 years old, man. Mm-hmm. I've never heard his name before today. Thank you very much, Nerdy.
Well, yeah, enjoy the catalog. It is a treat.
It's too smart for me.
It's so good.
I got to be honest, man. Like, he's clearly talented and knows how, he knows his way around not only polyrhythms and numerous melodies mm-hmm. and a ridiculous number of styles, but knows the production techniques, knows looping, knows the equipment, knows apparently everything.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, man.
It's I love listening to people who are vastly more talented than I am. I think it's one of those things where you got to give something to shoot for. I had an old saying people would always tell me, like, if you're the best out of everyone you know, then you have nowhere to go.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's management. Corporate management has another take on that. Ooh. Called, Matt, there's always room for improvement. And also, they also like to ask you this,
time
Matt.
Time to lean, you got time to clean.
Nice.
Mr. Allen, what exactly is it you'd say you do here?
What is it that you do?
Before we continue with Nerd D, because I want to know what the year ahead holds, because frankly, I'm getting more excited with each passing minute.
Yeah.
We need to check in with Sean. Sean is also a sponsor of this fine program known as the Brian Oak Show, and he is a realtor, which I keep hearing back and forth. I've heard it's never been a better time to sell your house. house. I also hear that people have never been more afraid to sell their house because there's nowhere to move to unless you want to live in a culvert somewhere by the highway.
It's just not true.
Okay.
You know, is it more challenging to find a house? Yes, it is. But here's the other thing. The rates are not what they were in 1978. I just talked to this guy and he's like, my first home, our interest rate, and we had good credit, was 13.5. He's like, so tell me your story at 3.125% about your woes. And he's like, he's like, when it's 13.5, you are paying on interest for like the first 10 years, depending on how much you put down.
The woman who helped us buy our first house, yeah. And we're like, 5.25. I don't know about that. And she's like, listen, you two. I was selling homes when it was literally over 20% yes. interest rate.
Yeah.
I'm like, and when you sit down for your closing, it already looks like Monopoly numbers over the course of a 30-year mortgage. If you had added another 18% to what we paid, I can't imagine what those numbers would have been.
No, exactly. What really matters is that you have a realtor that actually gives a shit about you and that they're willing to do the homework to see that the home that you're buying has the value or the home that you're selling.
Where am I going to find one of those?
Maybe your old pal, Sean Bernard.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Are you surprised that I said that?
No, I was actually expecting it, and I'm glad that's what happened.
Okay, good.
Because if it was someone else, I would have been surprised.
I have other news that you might like.
Ooh, okay.
So I do a thing, and I'm doing a thing this year where a portion of every home that I sell or help buy, we give a portion of that sale to a local artist or
that's
a musician.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And the seller or buyer gets to pick if they have a favorite Minnesota music has been a huge focus of this show since we started. And we also started now. We didn't have quite the buzz that Nerd D has.
No.
Okay. But we started this podcast at the birth of the pandemic, which turns out it was not a great time to start a business. But what we've done in order to give back is tried to feature as many local entrepreneurs, artists, musicians as possible to help people through this time, and Sean's taken it to the next level.
Yeah, I'm a Seantrepreneur.
Wow.
Oh, there we go.
Well, there you go. If you didn't get anything else from this episode.
Oh.
612. That was such a dad joke. Just in time for Father's Day.
Wow.
612-859-2. Brian's like, you're fired. It's over.
Seantrepreneur.
612-859. You two are the Dungeons and Dragons nerds. 612-859-2594.
If there's a lawyer out there that can help me dissolve an LLC. Seantrepreneur. Wendy, how long have you been sitting on that bad boy?
I was probably about 163 episodes.
Okay.
Get that on a t-shirt. You need to TM that today.
Seantrepreneur.
Hashtag.
Hashtag.
Here's the problem is being a lifelong radio guy, love that shit. And so I'm both equally horrified and dazzled at the same time. Before we talk about what the immediate and distant future looks like for promising young Minnesota musician Nerdy, your shirt, the Nerdy Club, right? People are in. They can buy merch. They can listen to music. Where do people go? What is ground zero for everything that is Nerdy?
So ground zero is nerdyrocks.com.
That's N-U-R-D rocks.
Yep, like multiple Dwayne Johnson's, N-U-R-D, rocks.com.
Okay.
I can only handle one.
Well, get ready. Get ready for the rest of 2021. Now, part of the t-shirt you're wearing right there of the Nerdy Club has got a couple of D20s on it. Yeah. I hate to explain to people because I like to keep certain things exclusive, like my nerdy gaming past and, frankly, my gaming present. For my birthday this year, which happened just last month, I'm also a big H.P. Lovecraft guy, and I'm a big Cthulhu guy, and so my daughter bought me a dice bag, a dice tray, and several things that all have beautiful emblazoned Cthulhu logos on them.
It's fantastic.
Because I still like to game, but you got a couple D20s on there. For people who don't understand how gaming works, there are polyhedral dice, right? You've got a 4-sider, you've got a 6-sider, you've got an 8-sider, you've got a 10-sider, a 12-sider, and the classic 20-sider. And, I mean, so I grew up playing D&D, so when I saw Stranger Things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like when the opening scene, it's a bunch of preteen dorks from the early 80s with Dorothy Hamill haircuts and tall white athletic socks sitting around playing with the Demogorgon and talking about D&D, I've never felt so seen in my entire life, all right? I mean, I was that kid.
Yeah.
Granted, it didn't lead to a lot of dates. I'm going to be honest.
That's fair.
But again, it took time for culture to catch up, right?
Yes, of course.
But it was part of my thing, and I know that you are not afraid or at all. That culture is not foreign to you either.
No.
When it comes to D&D,
mm-hmm.
your preferred race and class?
Ooh,
Now, okay. I know that we all like to do different things,
yes.
But we all have that default, don't we?
We all have a default. Now, none of my friends would be surprised at this.
Yeah.
But, like, I love a cheeky boy. So, like,
I love that. I will usually, if it was just like,
hey, you could pick one, you can't choose, can't change.
Yeah. Well, and not like you can't ever change
like,
again.
But if you, like, you pick your
list,
like,
over the course of time, you're like, I tend towards this.
I tend towards either half elf, or if I'm allowed, if my DM allows it, a changeling, and then I usually play a warlock. I've been playing warlocks even since like 3.5.
Okay, great. Well, I mean, I started out with the Aridge, and the problem with playing back then, there was no warlock.
No.
It was magician.
Yep.
Wizard. Those D4 hit point dice, like if you had 2 hit points,
yep.
You literally can't walk into a dungeon
just
or it's
dagger
over.
And it's done.
Right. A kobold comes up and your adventure is over.
Yes.
We'll see you next Saturday. Yep. And so it's gotten a little different and a little smarter, and most DMs don't start you at level 1 anymore. But
some still do. I'm going to shout out to one of my DMs and tell us to level us up already.
Mm.
you know who you are.
It gets juicier, man. Come on, it gets better. So yes. The fact that you said half-elf.
Yeah.
Half-elf or wood-elf archer. Has been my go-to
there you go.
Since I was but a wee lad. And I've played a lot of other types of characters. Mm-hmm. There's just something about that that speaks to me.
Yeah.
But those people who think, like, I'm chaotic neutral. Nothing controls me. I do anything I want.
Ooh.
I'm like, you don't know how to play chaotic neutral. That's not a real way to go through life.
I think that
neutral good.
Everyone likes chaotic neutral because they think they're going to be the Jack Sparrow. They think they're going to be the... like Star Lord or whatever,
and
that's what they want to be. And I understand that. I like it. Like I said, I like a cheeky boy.
Hard to play,
but it's hard to play within a group.
Yep.
Because when you watch these characters, the whole point of their character is that they don't work well with others. And a D&D campaign is a group activity.
It is.
So you have to be very, very good at role playing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think they're good at being that character, and they're really just not.
I feel that way about the old school first couple edition paladins.
Yeah.
Lawful good. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we're actually coming up on an orc encampment that has over 4,000 orcs there. We need to find a way to get in, grab the satchel, get back out. I will take them down! And the sword comes out, and you're all murdered because there's just no way. No, it can be a tricky bit. I'm glad you're one of the first people who not only was not sheepish about it, but has no problem acknowledging your gaming life, past, and possible future.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I'm lucky to have now existed in a world where it's super cool to do that.
Yeah.
Like, when I was playing D&D, same situation as you, it was very much like a... in the midst of the satanic panic, where Pokemon and Dungeons and Dragons and all of these things were, works of Beelzebub and his group.
Well, clearly.
and you know,
I still am trying to raise a demon.
Yeah,
it's been, that bullshit,
and
that's
only,
lying. It's not in there. It's
I
not
only
in there.
Worship Lucifer on every other Friday.
Hail Satan.
Yeah, always.
Hail Satan.
Every day.
Yeah, no, I actually, in the actual satanic panic of the 80s, one day I came home from school because I spent so much time in it. I love that world of imagination so much. I came home and saw all my D&D books, dice, graph paper, everything sitting on the couch in the living room, like, oh no, it's going to be a family talk.
Yep.
My parents had heard some talk at church about how kids are playing these games, and my mom was like, well, we're just worried that you're trying to summon demons.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Mom, look at me. The skinniest, dorkiest person you've ever seen in your whole life. Yeah, I'm your number one son, but that's what you got. What the hell would I do with a demon if it got here? Why, for fuck's sake, why would I ever want to summon it? And I didn't say that to her, of course, because she's a wonderful woman. But my God. All right, before we really have to wrap up.
No,
we're way
sorry.
Over time.
We're
no, this is on me, but I don't get to talk to many gamers, and it excites me. Nobody's come in before with a D20, let alone two of them on their shirt before. Nerd D is our guest. So we talked about the amp up, the origin, the all of a sudden. I mean, 2020 was going to be your shit. It was absolutely going to be, and then it all got shut down. But you still found a way to maintain creativity, to maintain a commitment to your community, to help other artists who maybe didn't have the kind of cachet that you had built up going into that year. But now here we are. Suddenly... and way quicker than I expected. Like, it started to hint that things were going to open up again. And suddenly, it's hard to find a mask, right? Like, I mean, things have changed radically. Is it too soon? I don't know. The numbers haven't spiked yet, so fingers are crossed, man. I'm really hoping for the best.
Or do whatever they need to
get vaccinated. Yep. Don't be that person.
Let's go.
I mean, let's do this. I want to go see you at Soundset, right? I mean, so let's talk about that briefly.
Yep.
You are now things are starting to open back up. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you've been in conversations with people prior to today.
Correct.
Because you have to plan ahead for these kinds of things.
Yes, you do.
Are you going to be out there this year?
Oh, yeah. I'm already out there.
What are you doing?
Well, one of the big, some of these things are still, like, I'm still waiting on the people,
right?
Yeah. Like, but one of the big ones is I'm going to be reopening the Fine Line.
Come on,
they're reopening the Fine Line because it was closed for the pandemic.
Yeah, of course.
Reopening the Fine Line with Finding Novion and Jack A and Xavier Goodman. We are going to be. It's going to be the biggest show there in a year.
Yeah, wow.
Over a year, and you could even argue going back further. The last show I saw pre-pandemic was at the Fine Line. It was Seattle Legends Mudhoney.
Oh, nice.
Not knowing that this was all going to shut down, and I was like, it was one of those weeknight shows where I'm like, I don't know, I'm tired. I guess I'll go. I've never seen Mudhoney. It was fucking fantastic.
Yeah,
you know, I think because of some of the sight lines, the Fine Line gets a bad knock, but that room is exactly the right size for the right show. I think that show is going to be amazing. When's that happening?
That is July 23rd. So you can still get your tickets now, but they are
on sale already.
They're on sale now,
but limited.
But they're limited. Yeah, I think all the balconies gone already. So if you were looking to try to get
well,
a
that's
table,
VIP, man.
Yeah,
forget
kinda,
that.
That's kind of done. But if you want to be out, if you want to be on the ground, you can come through. It's going to be super dope.
Okay, so then and Nerd D, NURDRocks.com,
that
people can find the link and the info. And that's really the best place to go to find out about upcoming shows. So now that we get to kind of get back into it, and you've got these incredible, you know, I wanted to talk a lot today, but we're already out of time. So will you come back again?
Of course.
Later on this year?
Yeah.
Okay, because, I mean, again, we're recording right now 10 blocks south of where George Floyd was literally murdered on camera in broad daylight in front of a watching world. Mm-hmm. And it has changed the nature of what we are.
Yeah.
And supposedly, justice has been served, but I think we all know that we're more than a couple steps away from proper justice, right?
Correct.
And a true attitude change. But you have been inspired to write not one, but two full missives, 38th and Chicago, about that very juncture that, again, I know it sucks that it's incremental, and it sucks that the world is not just, and it sucks that the world still sucks so much, right?
Yeah.
But it was a step, man, and it's weird to find this place that we call home, ground zero, the epicenter worldwide, because
strange.
It changes and it goes everywhere. And again, I hate to break it to people, lots of innocent black people have been killed by cops since George Floyd.
Yep,
no one saw it coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was sarcasm. Everyone saw it coming, and it's not going to stop until we make it stop. But this is important. So the information, if people want to get your music, is the best place to go to Bandcamp, or once again, to go to NerdyRocks.com and get it there.
If you go to NerdyRocks.com, you'll have access to all the music. Obviously, good. Bandcamp is great. It's a great service. I know on Juneteenth, I don't know when this comes out, but people are going to be, they're giving all the money to black artists, so you don't have to worry about that.
Is Juneteenth tomorrow or this weekend?
It's this
weekend.
Is
going to publish today. Day, which is the 17th.
Yeah,
Juneteenth
so
is the 19th, right? So on Saturday, 2 days from when this publishes.
You can go to Bandcamp and you can buy all that stuff there and help support that way. You can go to NerdyRocks.com is great. Obviously, if you want to do Spotify, iTunes, however you stream your music, if you follow there, that helps the analytics, it helps the numbers, and it helps boost the product.
You know, Juneteenth is finally going to be a national holiday.
It is.
They're working on it, and it looks like it's very, very close. By the way, it is worth mentioning, and I'm not trying to call it a certain political party, but fuck the GOP.
Yep.
A lot of senators did vote for it, but there are 12 GOP senators who said it's not really worth having a proper black holiday.
Yeah. This is what I say. It's one of those things where it's like, If everyone who decided to vote for this to be a national holiday, if they didn't want to, and instead wanted to vote for passing sweeping and like substantial police reform, I'd much rather have that.
Yeah.
So if that's what you're hung up on, you know what? I've talked to the black community. We had our black dudes meeting, and we've all decided we'd rather not be killed by the police than to have a federal holiday. Because as much as I'd love to see the Target brand Juneteenth the shirt,
think about the Hallmark cards.
Yeah, I know.
About the Hallmark cards.
It'd be super great. And you know, I love Sears, and I'm sure they'd have a really great sale for it. I would much rather not be killed by the police. So,
let's
do that.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I know that we're trying to be at least as lighthearted as we could in the face of abject and impossible horror and decades, centuries of pointless and stupid suffering that unfortunately doesn't seem like it's going to end anytime soon. So I guess what I'm trying to do is the same thing. Celebrate the incremental steps that we get to take, right? I mean, it's all we can do is all keep talking about it, all keep working together, all keep striving.
That's right.
Go to 38th in Chicago and lay down some fucking flowers.
Yeah.
Go into the heart of Uptown at Lake and Hennepin and lay down some fucking flowers. I mean, keep hope alive. Keep fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
I'm not saying firebomb a local business, but what I am saying, you know, I said it a while ago, you know, as we got to the anniversary of George Floyd's murder, I was like, this is my home. I love South Minneapolis. I don't want to watch it burn anymore. But then I did the little periods of ellipse, but I'm like, but maybe it needs to burn. And that sucks, man. I don't want any more pain in anyone's life, but something's got to change.
I think a lot of people need to remember that these are real people. A lot of people who are listening from outside, these are real people, real homes, real stores, real shop windows, real bodies on the street. So it's like, it's not an easy answer for any of these things. And I'll give you an example of people. When you watch Remember the Titans and you sit there and think, how could these people act this way? You watch these history books, how could these people do this? Just remember that whatever you're doing now is what you would have done then. So just think about that.
Yep.
That's what's happening. It might not seem that way to you, but it didn't seem that way to them either. So it's just like, take everything, take two steps, think about it, put yourself in other people's shoes for a moment, and ultimately realize that people are always going to be more important than property, as hard as that is to say when you have property.
Well, that's what I mean. Maybe it has to burn.
The idea is that if we can stop this problem, then this other thing won't happen.
Right.
No one's doing this because of I can't say no one, but I could say that the majority of people that you think are the issue would not be out there if these things weren't happening. If police weren't committing these atrocities. Unfortunately, there's people that have decided to use these peaceful protests, these things, to do other things. However, that wouldn't be the case if the initial problem, the initial disease of white supremacy and active racism was happening in our police departments and in our governmental structures.
Yeah, people are more important than property, but people were once property.
Yeah, and you have to think about that.
And that's what is crazy about the entire thing. And a lot of it is just about speaking up when you hear an injustice in a place where both sides are not necessarily there. That's the other thing I've said to friends of mine. It's not about the obvious all the time about speaking up when it's easy to do so.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's that your Uncle Victor is being a douche in front of the family and you look at him and say, hey, fuck no, man. Mm-hmm. We can't talk like that. Mm-hmm. That's not okay. And just because you haven't experienced something doesn't mean somebody else, you know, has. So.
Talk to your family. Talk to your people you know.
Yes.
Everybody. And I don't think there's any reasonable person out there. You know, a lot of people love to push back who can't quite get their heads around it that all lives matter, blue lives matter. We all know there's good cops. We all know there's good people out there. Don't be threatened when people say that black lives matter, because right now there is a fucking target on their back.
Yeah.
And there has been for a long time.
Yes.
But the tensions are raised, so it's okay to simply say without qualifiers, black lives matter.
Exactly.
Before we bid you a fond farewell, thank you for digging into that. By the way, I'd like to do a whole nother episode on just this sometime.
Yeah, of course.
Because I, you know, as our good friend Jared Brewington once said, who used to own a business right at 38th in Chicago, I asked him, like, what the fuck are we going to do? And he's like, I'm not Black Google, Brian. Figure it out. remains one of the most brilliant things I've ever heard in my entire life. Because it does force you to reflect. It does force you to do it. But I would love to have you back sometime and we can kick this around a little bit more.
Yeah.
For now, we do have to wrap it up. But one thing I want to mention for people who only, if that was your first experience of a nerdy song right there, Breaking Chains, you managed to be poignant, political, current, contemporary.
Funny.
But you don't ever sing about trapping, pimping.
Nope.
There's no gun violence in any of your songs. You don't even swear, my good man. And so, but here's the deal. If we led with that, people would be like, oh, another wholesome kid rapper. You know, nothing like that. Like, what you rap about is poignant. Maybe even more importantly, the message, that's the cool thing about hip hop to me, is the message is as important as the method, right? Like,
yeah.
It's got to, like I think about most music, I love lyrics, but I also want to hear a song that I fucking enjoy.
Yeah.
You find a way to thread that needle, but somehow have never once reared back and slapped anybody. it's not your jam.
Not yet.
Okay. Not necessarily in your music. Not
in
your music.
Please don't get it twisted.
That's what I meant. You know, a lot of music though promotes that,
yes,
right? And that they promote a lifestyle and attitude, and somehow you manage to maintain a currency that is very valuable today without any of that bullshit that I think sometimes gets in the way.
Well, thank you very much. I try really hard to make sure that everybody can listen to my music. I want you to be able to turn it on when grandma's in the car and be able to talk about some real stuff and not feel like anybody's compromising.
Well, and also have grandma say, fuck, this shit slaps.
That's exactly what I want your grandmother to say. Hashtag, please have your grandma curse because I'm so good. I need that. Send me all the videos of your grandmother cursing, please.
Oh, just grandma bobbing her head and she's like, this shit slaps.
Yes, please. Nerdy,
thank you very much, man. And good luck with the coming year, man.
Appreciate it.
Here's to picking up where we left off, right?
Yes,
or
amen.
Some be reasonable facsimile thereof. Take care. NURDRocks.com. Ground zero for all things nerdy.
Yes.
And you're the best, man. Thank you very much.
So much for having me.
I would really, really want you to come back. Sean, also pretty good to have you, too.
Hey, you know, yep.
Great.
Chantrepreneur's in the house. All right. Oh, yeah.
I had Who's already ready? Forgotten. Chantrepreneur.
I'll never forget.
Hashtag Chantrepreneur.
Yes.
That was going to haunt me at night when I lay there wide awake staring at the ceiling.
Copyright, bro.
What sort of decisions have I made? Thanks to SmartStart MN. Thanks to AudioQuip. Thanks to our Patreon supporters. Sorry. My heartburn had actually gone away for a while. Where are my fucking Tums? One last thing I'm going to throw out here now that we've gone very long.
Longest show ever right here.
Hey! Is it really?
It is. The longest show ever.
Well, but I mean, I feel like we're just getting started. There's a lot more we could have talked about.
We're not going to split into two parts either. You can just pause it if you need to.
Yeah, no. And we'll have you back another time. Cowards. Because more things we'll have.
You can pause it. Exactly. Sleep. Come back.
Yeah. You little... Nice listeners and Patreon supporters who we couldn't do without.
Walking around the lake with your earbuds in, jackass.
You know what you did.
Yeah.
You're just not done.
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
The next time I am either in treatment or on vacation, I would like Nerdy to host this podcast.
Yes.
Because I feel
totally.
Like that, I feel like you are uniquely gifted for this particular format.
Have a very interesting episode to come back to.
Mm. Yes, you would.
I'd appreciate it. No, I'd listen to it there while I was intubated. Let's go ahead and wrap things up here. I got one more song before we go. This morning, the radio station I work at announced its annual outdoor show. Basilica Block Party used to be kind of a big deal.
That's right.
I don't know if you've been to it before.
I have.
Well, this past year, there wasn't one because I don't know if you guys noticed, but there was a worldwide pandemic. I know, tear down the face, right? That being said, this morning we announced the lineup. Tickets are on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. I'm not really trying to do a big advertisement for the radio station, but I am excited about some of the artists who are going to be performing there this year. One of them, one of my favorite bands of the last 25 years, and that would be the band out of Austin, Texas, by the name of Spoon.
Hmm.
They're going to be right before the headliner. No. I just started my new job there. I can't say anything about the headliner. right before the headliner, one of my favorite bands of the last 25 years is playing. Spoon has had this wonderful, glorious, weirdo, wonderful, respected, but like by both the indie community and critics and commercially successful career. I'm just a huge, huge fan of Britt Daniel and everything that this band has done over the course of their career. And this is probably my favorite song. It's how we're going to wrap up episode 164 of The Brian Oak Show.
My teeth every night. I wanna get away.